Welcome to Living Faith Online with Pastor Connie McLean.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Living Faith Online. Welcome back. I want to say hello to all of our subscribers, our visitors, and my Living Faith family. Mwah, I love you so much. Before we get to the Word of God, I've got some announcements. I need you to mark your calendars and spread the word. We're getting ready to... We're continuing to celebrate 40 years of ministry, celebrating 40 years of the goodness of God. On Friday, July 18th, get ready for an electrifying night of worship and praise. We're going to be featuring the dynamic Anthony Brown and Group Therapy will be in concert at Living Faith Christian Center. Again, that's Friday, July 18th. Also, on Friday, August 22nd, get ready to step out in black tie gala style. We're going to have a red carpet banquet. It's going to be a night of elegance, entertainment, laughter, and celebration. Both events, the concert and the banquet, will be opened to members and non-members of Living Faith. Tickets will be required and space is limited, so of course it'll be first come, first served. So keep your ears open for information. No. All right. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We thank you for your word that is able to save our souls, change our lives, bless us. Your word is able to mold us, shape us, so that the new creature in Christ that you recreated us to be will be revealed. So, Father, I ask that you would bless this time. Holy Spirit, I need you. We need you in our midst, even over these devices, to receive the word of God. Amen. Amen. All right. I wanted to look at two particular scriptures. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, and I just want to share a word of encouragement regarding just allowing, being available to let God use you. Now, I am very aware, and perhaps you are as well, but I am very aware that people in the body of Christ, all of us have been called by God. And all of us have been called to be an extension of God's heart, of God's love, to be instruments of God's power, God's changing power, life-changing power in not only our lives, but in the lives of other people. But again, I'm very aware that as people of God, because of different backgrounds, different experiences in life, things that we've gone through that have affected the way that we look at ourselves. So I just want to encourage you to just be open-minded, to allow God to use you, to use you specifically. So I wanted us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27. I'm going to read it in a couple versions. And I may have shared this before, but again, I just wanted to encourage you because we're always going through things, you know, sometimes we go through things, life comes to beat us up, drag us down, discourage us, right? And so we just need to remember who we are in Christ, and we need to realize how God sees us and how God will use any of us, and he wants to use any of us, not just that he will, he wants to, What that means his will is his want to, but... We need to realize that and begin to just stop being shy, stop being concerned about perfection or whatever we think qualifies us. But the scripture says that the Holy Spirit qualifies us, that God qualifies us to do ministry. We don't have to be called to the ministry. He just wants us to do ministry. He wants us to bless people. He wants us to see people not only ourselves get healed, not only ourselves prosper, but God wants us, he wants to use us to cause others to be healed and others to prosper in every area of our lives. That's why Jesus came, so that we might have abundant life, not just life, but life more abundantly. Amen. To the overflow. Give us life that's too much. Amen. More than what we need. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, I'm going to read it in Amplified. It says, "For simply consider your own call, brethren. Not many of you were considered to be wise according to human estimates and standards." Now, this is according to human estimates and standards. "Not many influential and powerful, not many of high and noble birth." Amen. I mean, if that's you, I wasn't born of a high and noble birth. I was the son of George and Iva, you know, from West Philly, right? So I wasn't born of high and noble. I didn't have a high and noble birth. Amen. No, verse 27, "No, for God selected, deliberately chose what is in the world, what in the world is foolish, but to put the wise to shame, and what the world calls weak to put the strong to shame." Okay, let me read that. I think I had that in the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation says, "Brothers and sisters, consider who you were when God called you to salvation. Not many of you were wise scholars by human standards, nor were many of you in positions of power. Not many of you were considered the elite when you answered God's call." Come on, y'all. "But God," somebody say, "but God," let me underline that. "But God chose those whom the world considers foolish to shame those who think they are wise, and God chose the puny and powerless to shame the high and mighty." Amen. I'm going to read the next verse. "He chose the lowly, the laughable, in the world's eyes, nobodies, so that he would shame the somebodies, for he chose what is regarded as insignificant in order to supersede what is regarded as prominent." Amen? So that there would be no place for prideful boasting in God's presence. Remember, we've been talking about the grace of God. This is the year of double grace. But these verses are telling us that when most of us were called, we didn't come from have a noble heritage. We didn't come from what they call good stock, or, you know, most people who get born again, they didn't come from money. They didn't come from prestige. But God is telling us here that God actually uses that, the fact that we didn't have a great background, the fact that we didn't come from some elite family. God uses that. Matter of fact, he uses the foolish things to confound the wise, and eventually wise, so that nobody can boast. Nobody can boast. And it shows us, he's telling us here, that God will use, he will use even the simple. He'll use the simple. Amen. I consider myself simple, not silly and, you know, ridiculous, but a simple person. I know that's a lot of you. Now, that word foolish, it comes from, I want you to hear this. Now, the reason why I like to encourage people with these scriptures is because, I was thinking how, you know, when Pastor Lamont and I got into ministry, I was cool because we were in ministry together. It was his idea. He called me Pastor Connie. I co-pastored with him. But of course, I deferred everything to him. I let him, you know, do his thing. I knew what his strengths were. I knew he had this covered. You know, I knew he was capable, and that God was making him even more capable, amen, by, you know, helping him with his speech, helping him preach. And so I was cool. I trusted him. I believed in Pastor Lamont. And so, but I considered myself like behind the scenes. And so I considered him, as far as ministry was concerned, I considered him better than me, smarter than me, more capable than me. And then it came to a point, you know, so I didn't consider myself capable of doing what he did. And I didn't have to, but it came to a place where I had to. And I had to, I've shared with you, you know, preaching on the grace, that I had to get over some things. I had to get over my my thoughts of insufficiency, my feelings of inadequacy. And I had to trust God, the grace of God, to help me to do what he called me to do. Again, I consider myself, I mean, you know, I wasn't, totally ignorant, but I considered myself someone who was a low, I just didn't think highly of myself, period. But the word foolish, it said God uses the foolish things, and he's talking about people. The word foolish is the Greek word moreno, and it means it's describing someone who is dull, dense, or slow. It's where we get the word moron. So it's funny, though, you know, God has a sense of humor. So Paul is telling the Corinthians here, now he was telling the Corinthians here that God would use people that the world considers as morons. You ever hear somebody watch a movie or something and say, moron, you know, I think we should also understand the background here. In the early church, most people who got saved, they weren't of noble heritage. A big part of the converts, the new Christians, the new believers, they came from backgrounds where they were used to being servants, right? They were used to being under someone else all the time. So what Paul was trying to encourage them, saying, no, look, you're cool. You're qualified because God said, I'm going to use the foolish of this world to confound those who are wise, those who are educated. Let me see. So he's describing here people, the word moreno, where we get the word moron. It was talking about people who the world scorned and made fun of and treated with contempt or put their nose down. People still to this day, amen? People still to this day consider Christianity for weak people, for people who have, let me see what I put down. Even today, people claim that Christianity is for people who are poor, people who are uneducated, weak people, unintelligent people. And so even today, Christianity is looked down on and Christians are ridiculed still to this day. And that's what was happening in this day. And, you know, so people who are of affluence, great affluence, they look down on Christians because they think Christians are just weak and they need a God or need somebody to believe in. Ha ha. The joke's on them. Amen. So God is telling us. So what am I saying tonight? I just want to encourage you as I continue to encourage myself that what the world calls qualified, what the world calls capable of experienced success, of having a purpose, what the world calls capable or incapable, God calls capable. God calls them qualified. God qualifies us. And so let me read that again. It says, not many of you were considered the elite when you answered God's call, but God chose those whom the world considers foolish to shame those who think they are wise. And God chose the puny and powerless to shame the high and mighty. Look, is that you? He chose the lowly, the laughable. How many of you have been laughed about? How many of you, when you were growing up, you were laughed about? You were belittled. You were called stupid and, you know, all those types of things. And you were teased. But God's saying, no, I can use you. Don't, you know, that's not a problem. I can use you. I can use the laughable. God said he chose the lowly. He chose the laughable according to the world's eyes. I chose nobodies so that I can shame the high-minded by using you. Amen? By using me. And it says what he said, for he chose what is regarded as insignificant in order that he, in order to supersede. That word supersede means to take the place or position of. So God chose the nobodies. God changed the, chose the people who are laughable, right? In order and in regard as insignificant in this world. Of course, God has value in every person, right? God values every person. God has high regard for every person. He values us. Amen? He proved that through Jesus Christ. In order to supersede, that means to take the place or position of, so he chose the lowly, the laughable, the nobodies, to supersede, to take the place or position of. It also means to displace in favor of another. So God is saying, yeah, right. People going to know who I am through you because I'm going to use you. People laughed at you, right? People thought you were shameful and ignorant and not capable, those types of things. God says, I'm going to use you to displace and supersede those people so that, you know, so that they'll see that, no, I'm God. I'm God. Amen. So you don't have to be, I just put some things down. You know, over the years, I've met some scruffy, rough people. Amen. Some rough people, unrefined. And I think that's fine because when they're confident in the Lord, I see their potential, right? We see their potential. Don't you love it when somebody who is not according to the world standards, but we become amazed when we see God use them, you know, and it is funny. You know, there was this one guy who used to come to our church, and he was a rough dude. He was delivered from drugs, alcohol, fighting, you know, and things like that. And he was real rough. And I wanted so bad. He eventually left the ministry, but I really wanted to use him, you know, his type of personality, I wanted to use him. I'm like, man, if we could have a ministry where somebody just went and witnessed to people in the bars and, you know, and on drugs. And this guy, he would not have blinked at doing that. And it just never came to, it never came to be, but that doesn't mean that that's still not my desire. So, you know, so even when you're scruffy and rough and not polished, God will still use you. Now, we may not qualify when we're scruffy and rough and considered nobodies, laughable, lowly. Now, it might not get us a job, qualify us for a job, but definitely just knowing Jesus, loving God, being available will qualify us to do what God wants us to do, which is to make a difference. Now, God has called us to, in Mark chapter 16 and Matthew 28, he's called us to preach the gospel to the whole world. He's called us to cast out devils, to deliver people from demons, to snatch devils off of people, to lay hands on the sick so that they can recover, right? To preach the good news to every creature, to reach the lost, right? To reach the lost. So you don't have to be handsome to preach the gospel, right? You don't have to be eloquent of speech in order to share your testimony. You don't have to be highly educated to cast out devils or to preach the gospel to someone and get them saved. You don't have to have a degree to lay hands on the sick and see them recover so that they can be healed, right? You don't have to have a degree to do that. All you have to do is believe in the power of Jesus and in the power of his name. Amen. So even though the world calls you laughable, even though the world calls you lowly, even though if the world has in the past has called you a moron or a fool, it doesn't matter. You don't need all that. All you need is the power of God. All you need is faith, and all you need is the name of God. So you don't have to be professionally trained to make an impact in your community. You don't have to be rich to feed the poor and feed the hungry, right? To our seniors. You don't have to be young in order to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. You don't have to be young or necessarily robustly fit seniors in order to share your testimony with people. Right? You get the opportunity to impact people your age. For our older people, you get opportunity to preach the gospel to someone who is soon to die, you know, and share Jesus with them and get them saved, right? All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is to be willing. Amen. In Acts chapter 4, in verse 13, it says that the men, they saw Peter and John. They saw that Peter and John were unlearned men. They were unlearned men. That word unlearned, I mean, they heard them preach the gospel with power, with authority. And apparently they could tell from their diction, the way they spoke, that they were unlearned men, but they also saw that they had been with Jesus. Why? Because how could they tell? Because of the authority that was in their voice. You know, no matter how uneducated you are, God can anoint your voice. He can make your voice crash through the darkness and change things and bring light to situations. Amen? So again, we might be disqualified in our flesh for a particular job, or, you know, that you have to be trained in or have to have a degree in. But when it comes to the work of God and being a powerful Christian with the anointing on your life, we don't need the education that the world needs. So that word unlearned, they saw that Peter and John were unlearned. That word unlearned, it means illiterate versus learned and educated. It means unskilled in any art. So they didn't have any, they could tell they didn't have any training coming from being fishermen, right? So they must have heard, even though their language is not as, you know, eloquent as ours, but there's some power in their voice. There's power in their words. There's power. We can't deny that the actions. We can't deny that even the shadow of Peter came on and healed people. Amen. And it means ignorant. The word unlearned, the root word, it means ignorant, and it even means idiot. And I don't know about you, but this just blesses me because God has a sense of humor. Come on, y'all know that. Because he called you and because he uses you. Amen. I'm talking about those of us who don't see ourselves as any specially trained people in the world system, amen, according to the world standards. But God is letting us know that he's going to use you. He wants to use you if you're willing, if you're obedient, if you want to be used. God will use you. He will use anyone. Amen. And we don't have to be highly educated for God to use us. Amen. So, So God will use whoever is available. God will use whoever is willing. Are you available? Are you willing? Stop disqualifying yourself. We've got to stop disqualifying ourselves saying, oh, I can't, I could never do that. I can't do that. Now, that's not to say, y'all, that we don't become, as we become Christians, you know, Paul told Timothy, he said, you're going to have to study to show yourself approved, right? So we have to learn the Word of God. We have to learn the Scriptures. We need to learn how to minister to people. We need to learn how to share our testimony, right? We need to learn how to lay hands on the sick. You know, from practice, we can have some training, but as far as the world standards, we don't need all that in order for God to use us. Amen? And again, that just blesses me because that means I'm qualified. Amen? You know, a couple of my leaders, they told me, I don't know what they fully meant about it, but they said, you know, when I shared one Sunday that I don't have any degrees. And they told me that following week, they said, Pastor, we didn't realize you didn't have a degree. I didn't ask them, okay, so what does that mean? What do you mean by that? So, but anyway, I mean, it was a good thing, I guess, that they didn't know I didn't have a degree. but then on the other hand, it's like maybe I should have asked a couple more questions to find out what they really meant about that. But anyway, and I'm saying that to say, you know, God called me to do what I'm doing, despite the fact that I didn't have a college degree, right? Again, we just have to be willing and obedient, amen? And God will take care of us. And lastly, I want to just share with Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he talked about, now Paul, the Apostle Paul, was highly educated. He was highly educated. He called himself the Jew of Jews, right? He had studied with this great teacher of the law and of the Scriptures, and so much so he was condoning killing Christians because he thought that was his call. Amen? You ever meet somebody who just think it's their job to debate Christians and to disprove the Scriptures and disprove the Trinity and disprove all, you know, all the things that we believe in, right? And so Paul, Apostle Paul, before he got saved, when he was still called Saul, he was a highly educated man. But in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul, he said he counts all his past. He counted all of, now that he had met Christ, he had counted all of his qualifications as dung. He was basically saying, I've traded in all my credentials so that I might find Christ. Look, our education, any education, high education, cannot compare to finding Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. We need to trade in everything for the anointed one and his anointing, knowing him and him alone. Amen. And what he has done for us and what he represents. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you've chosen us. You've chosen to use people like us. And Father, we realize that even though we may not be educated or cultured or come from money or prestige, but God, we declare that we do have a heart for you. We have a heart. We want to be used by you. We want to be used in the earth for your purposes. Father, we thank you that if we have been foolish, which is really everyone, we thank you that you have chosen the foolish ones, according to the world, to confound, to disturb, to confuse, and to put to show, or and show those who are educated, amen, in this world. Father, we thank you that we can live a life of simplicity, but live a life of power and anointing, as long as we are willing and available. And Jesus, tonight we say that we are available. And we bless you. We bless you, God. We just thank you. We thank you. and we praise you. In Jesus' name, I'll see you next week. And Living Faith family and anybody who wants to visit, I'll see you on Sunday at 10 a.m. I love you. God bless you.
Fellas, need a break from the noise? We're flipping the script and bringing the sports bar vibe to church. Game day eats. Football trivia. Real talk that hits harder than a linebacker. On Saturday, June 28th from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., our guest speakers will be Minister Michael Chavis, bringing powerful and real encouragement, and former NFL linebacker and faith-driven speaker Gary Cobb. Whether you're here for the word or just the wings, come kick it with us. Wear your team jersey, bring your crew, and get spiritually fueled up. Register by Wednesday, June 25th at lfccnj.com or just scan the code. You're more than a conqueror. Let's build men who win on and off the field.